بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. We continue the explanation of Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 129. قال الله عز وجل, still concerning Ibrahim and his son Ismail, may Allah salat and salam be upon both of them and their invocation while raising the foundations of the Kaaba. ربنا وابعث فيهم رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياتك ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة ويزكيهم إنك أنت العزيز الحكيم. This is the invocation, O our Lord, and therefore you have to remember, inshallah, that the invocation by saying ربنا, this relates to Allah's lordship. And we explained the linkage in the previous verse, that if you ask Allah for something, then you say Rabbana, because He is the one who brings to existence and He is the creator, the one who runs the affairs. This is just a reminder. So they said, O our Lord, send amongst them a messenger. Amongst whom? Meaning amongst their offspring. And this messenger reciting unto them your verses and making them clear to them. And as Allah, this is similar to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in verse 16, verse 44, وَأَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. And we have also sent down unto you, O Muhammad, the reminder and the advice, and this is the Quran, that you may explain clearly to men what is sent down to them, and that they may give thought. So this sending of the messenger, reciting unto them your verses, making them clear, explaining clearly to people, and وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, and teaching them instruct them in the book and hikmah, and وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, and sanctify them. Verily, إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Verily, you are the Almighty, the All-Wise. Now, we'll explain what is hikmah, what is wisdom, inshallah, in a moment. So, teaching them, instructing them about the book, which is the Quran, and what it contains from the truthful and beneficial news and just laws. And the hikmah, it is said that it means the Sunnah, because of the saying of Allah in another verse, chapter 4, 1:13, Allah referred it there, وَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. And Allah sent down to you the book, the Quran, and the hikmah. And the hikmah here refers to the Sunnah and what it comprises from the Quranic laws and from the laws legislated also in the Sunnah, as well as all the legal and knowledge of the legal and illegal things. All of this is in addition to the knowledge of what the Sharia denotes and calls for, that it is a complete Sharia for every time and place. All of this is comprised in the term al-hikmah. And Allah said, not only instruct them concerning the book and the hikmah, but also وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, meaning sanctify them. Their manners, their actions, make them grow in perfection and purify their manners and their characters from any despicable actions. Verily you are, إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ, you are almighty and all wise. Al-izza, meaning Zul-izza, the one who possesses perfect might. Al-izza means subduing, overpowering. There is none that can overpower Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is nothing that stands in the way of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to excuse, rather wants to manifest or create or do. And al-hakim, all wise, meaning the one who is qualified with the wisdom, and to him is the judgment and decree. The points of benefit. Number one, the need of mankind for the messengers. The need of mankind for the messengers. And that's why Ibrahim عليه السلام invoked Allah to send in his offspring a messenger from them, reminding them of the verses, instructing them in the book and the hikmah, sanctifying them. And this is a matter known by necessity. The human intellect if it reaches the highest level, it cannot stand independently concerning the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning on its own cannot comprehend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his names and attributes in detail, and it cannot worship Allah except in that which he legislates, and thus therefore they are in dire need for the messengers to make all these matters clear to them. And look also at the wisdom in the invocation. رَسُولًا مِنْهُمْ, a messenger from amongst themselves, from amongst them. Because this is closer to accepting him and what he brings. Because they know of him. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this respect in Surah Al-Najm, chapter 53, verse 53, ما ضل صاحبكم وما غوى. This would be 2, I'm sorry, 53-2. ما ضل صاحبكم وما غوى. Your companion, Muhammad, صلى الله عليه وسلم, has neither gone astray nor has erred. So contemplate the saying of Allah in this verse. مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ, your companion. He added him to them, your companion. The conjugation here, the addition is to them, your companion. Meaning your companion whom you know well, and you know of his honesty and truthfulness. Indeed, he did not, he neither gone astray nor has erred. And what Ibrahim invoked Allah concerning this messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was manifested. He, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, used to teach his companions the Quran, instructing them not exceeding 10 verses, except he makes them clear to them, or rather they themselves did not exceed 10 verses, except they learned them and learned what they contain from knowledge and actions. Then they entrusted this knowledge of the Quran to the successors after them with truthfulness and trust. And the Muslims took it then, generation after generation, until our times. No one attempted to transgress against this noble Quran, except that someone from this ummah, the knowledgeable, would stand and refute. And all praise is due to Allah for all of that. So the message of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam comprised the revelation of the verses and the signs, the universal signs and the legal signs, and the instruction concerning the noble Quran, recitation and meaning. And it also comprised the hikmah, knowing the objectives of Sharia, and also the sanctification of manners and characters. We remember in this respect the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, I have been sent to perfect the noble qualities and manners. So his Sharia calls for the sanctification and purification from all despicable manners. It commands righteousness, and it calls to enjoining what is right, and it commands goodness and keeping the relationship of kins, and it commands truthfulness, and it commands every good to man in his deen, in his religion, and in his worldly affairs. And it also calls to refrain from everything that opposes all these great manners. It calls to refraining from sin and severing the ties of kinship and transgression and ill treatment to parents and lying and cheating. All of this is included in the manifestation of Allah's answer to the invocation of Ibrahim to sanctify them. Just imagine the case and the life of people before Islam. Take for example their worship, shirk and kufr, associating partners with Allah, disbelieving in Him. And as to the social conditions, you don't even have to ask about that. The strong taking over the weak, and the rich taking over the poor, indulging in usury and fights, speaking ill of each other concerning their lineages. Islam came and destroyed all of that. And anyone who examines with fairness the history before the advent of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and compare it to the time when Islam prevailed would come to know the great difference between the two situations, and it will become apparent to him the meaning of وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ and sanctify them. And this is a proof for the perfection of Sharia in Islam, and that this Sharia brought the wisdom, meaning everything that benefits man was put in the proper place and proper perspective. And that's why it is based upon جلب المصالح ودرء المفاسد, bringing forth what's beneficial and repelling evil. And from the points of benefit in this verse is affirming analogy in Sharia, affirming analogy, al-qiyas. If it is correct, made correctly, because not every analogy is correct. And the affirmation of analogy is abundant in the parables which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had set in the Quran. And so it also covers every parable that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam described in the Sunnah. All of these testify for the affirmation of analogy in Sharia. The Prophet, for example, alayhi salatu wasalam, used to mention what is physically perceived in order to make analogy with what is possible and realistic. Take for example the following hadith incident. It's very great. And this is in Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 7, verse 193. In the hadith reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. Okay, that would be then, 7225. I don't know how I got this 7193, but here it is. 225. The hadith is from Abu Huraira. A man came to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and he said, O Messenger of Allah, a black boy was born to me. A black child was or has been born for me. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, I mean, he was like, how come I have this boy whose color is black? And the Prophet ﷺ said, asked him, have you got camels? So the man said, yes. The Prophet ﷺ asked him, what color are they? The man replied, red. The Prophet ﷺ said, is there a gray one among them? Is there a gray one among them? The man replied, yes. The Prophet ﷺ said, whence comes that? He said, لعل نزعه عرق. Maybe it is because of heredity. So the Prophet told him, فَلَعَلَّ ابْنَكَ هَذَا نَزَعَهُ. Maybe your latest son has this color because of heredity. So the man was totally convinced. Because making such an analogy with something related is from wisdom. However, in reality, most of what is taken to be analogy by some is not correct, such that they may relate a thing to something which is not similar, and therefore this is where error occurs. And from the benefit is affirming the tawassul, seeking means of nearness to Allah by His names, and invoking Allah by His names, because in the invocation they said, إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Verily you are the Almighty, the All-Wise. And therefore in this dua they mention two names of the names of Allah, and they are Al-Aziz and Al-Hakim. This therefore affirms might and wisdom. This affirms therefore might and wisdom as two attributes to Allah, and that the judgment is His. As to the might, the might is of two types, or is actually of three types. The might is of three types. عِزَّةُ قَدْر, might of rank. The might of Allah is of three types. Number one, عِزَّةُ قَدْر, might of rank and greatness. Nothing is comparable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His rank and His magnificence and His greatness. And the second type is عِزَّةُ قَهْرٍ وَغَلَبَ, might of subduing and overcoming and overpowering, subduing everything. And a third type, عِزَّةُ امْتِنَاعُ, might of impossibility, might of impossibility, meaning that it is impossible that any defect or any imperfection can be attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in himself, in his names, in his attributes, in his actions. It's impossible. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Munafiqun verse 8, ولله العزة ولرسوله وللمؤمنين. The hypocrites say, if we return to Medina, indeed the more honorable will expel therefrom the meaner, meaning the Prophet. But honor, power and glory belong to Allah, His Messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, and to the believers. But the hypocrites know not. This is the point. But honor, power and glory belong to Allah, His Messenger, and to the believers. But the hypocrites know not. The second thing here is the affirmation of the hikmah to Allah. Hikmah. And it means putting things in their proper places, conditions, settings. And this hikmah is of two types. This hikmah, this wisdom, is of two types. First, the wisdom in making things according to a certain quality or description or manner. The second is the wisdom related to the objective behind such a thing. The second is hikmah in the objectives. And this wisdom could be in legal manners. Rather, it's not could be, it is in legal matters, in what is legislated, and in also in the pre-decrees of Allah. In both. In the pre-decrees as well in the legislations, these types of wisdoms. And let us take an example. The moon. This moon, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in its proper place when He created it. And He made it travel in certain mansions in accordance with this. Its size differs, meaning the bright side of the moon. Being on such a description, then the size of its brightness increases gradually until it stops, then begins to diminish. This is wisdom, without any doubt, because whenever you look at it and you see its brightness diminishing, then you would know that it is, for example, in the you are in the fourth quarter of the month, and you, if you look at it and you see it full moon, then you would know that you are in the last quarter, like in the, you will be in the latter part of the second quarter. The objective now behind having this is that we come to know the number of years, and also the month, and therefore both wisdoms are manifested in this creature that Allah created. A certain manner and with a specific objective, so that we know the number of years. And so in this case also take another case, which is the prayer which we pray, the salah. The salah is a legal matter, but the moon is a pre-decree, meaning Allah created it in this way. It's pre-decreed. And this is an example on the wisdom being in related to the pre-decree. But with respect to the salah, it's a legal matter. You find it in accordance with the manner that we pray, having the greatest wisdom the way it is manifested, standing before Allah, coming near to Him by reciting His books, His book, calling upon Him, invoking Him, then bowing in order to know the strength of magnification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the ruku' tells of the great magnification to Allah. You are bowing. Then after that you stand up, then go in prostration. So you go from the highest point while you're standing to the lowest point with your forehead on the ground, putting the upper part of your body, the highest of it, which is your head, and which contains the most honorable thing a man has, and this is the face. You put that on the ground, a place where people step with their shoes and feet, and a low place. Tawadu'an lillah, all of this as humbleness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and magnification of Him. And that's why the slave of Allah is in the position which is most near to Allah when he is in this prostrating position. Having the salah on this manner is utmost wisdom. Similarly, the fruits of this salah, there is great wisdom in them. And this is the wisdom of the objective. The objective or the wisdom pertaining to the objective is happiness in this life, attaining happiness in this life and the hereafter. Allah spoke of the benefit of salah in concerning His universal pre-decrees, calamities or whatever may occur upon us, He directed us to make use of its benefits when He said, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ in 2:45. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ and seek help on your affairs and what befalls you by being patient, perseverant, and performing the salah. And in concerning its benefit in the legal matters, listen, 29:45. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. This is pertaining to the legal side. And perform a salah. Verily, a salah prevents from all types of sins and all munkar. And munkar means covers shirk and all kinds of evil, and the remembering praising of you by Allah in front of the angels is greater indeed than your remembering, etc. So the point of evidence that the salah prevents from al-fahsha, great sins, from you name it, and every kind of unlawful sexual intercourse, etc., and the munkar. So from these two examples, it becomes apparent that the hikmah of Allah, the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, covers the manner upon which something is, and also the objective of that thing being on that particular manner. Also, this verse, since it affirms the hikmah, and the hikmah comprises the wisdom in its two types, and also comprises the judgment, that the decree and the judgment belongs to Allah alone. It belongs to Allah. Since there is no one to share with His universal decree, no one can stop death if it comes to him, or when it comes to him, no one can prevent it from occurring to him, and no one can bring to existence something so minute or weak, or you name it. So, the decree, the universal decree of Allah is entirely His. يقول الله عز وجل, Allah says in Surah Al-Hajj in 22:73, يا أيها الناس ضرب مثل فاستمعوا له إن الذين تدعون من دون الله لن يخلقوا ذبابا ولو اجتمعوا له وَإِنْ يَسْلُبُهُمُ الذُّبَابُ شَيْئًا لَا يَسْتَنْقِذُوهُ مِنْ ضَعُفَ الطَّالِبُ وَالْمَطْلُوبُ. All mankind, a similitude has been coined. So listen to it carefully. Verily those on whom you call besides Allah cannot create even a fly, even though they may combine together, for the purpose. And if the fly snatched away a thing from them, they would have no power to release it from the fly. So weak are both the seeker and the sought. Both are weak. So the universal decree of Allah is entirely His. No one can oppose it. And that's why you see these great floods, these destructive storms, and these tornadoes befall upon the greatest nations, greatest in industry, in economics, in arms, and it destroys what Allah willed for it to destroy, and they cannot prevent it. As to the legal decree, now we talk about the universal decree, that it's inevitable to take place. His decree, his universal one, his judgment, which pertains to the creation, bringing to existence, you name it. All of that is going to pass. No one can stop it. As to the legal decree, al-hukm al-shar'i, that which pertains to his legislation, it may change. It may be. However, its change is a transgression against the decree of Allah, such that the one who does it will be punished. The one who alters or changes any of his legislations, of Allah's legislations, Allah will deal with him justly. And even if they change, it will remain, meaning Allah's legislations and Sharia will remain. Because it is written for it to stay. Allah decreed it will stay. And therefore, no matter what these mollifiers and transgressors who want to deform the Sharia of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always brings those who will stand and refute and defeat their transgression. From this we conclude that Al-Hakim, the name Al-Hakim, is from Al-Hukm, decree, and Al-Hikmah, wisdom. And from the benefits of this verse is gaining the proper conduct. Since now we know that Allah is the Almighty, therefore, we can attain might only through Him, seeking Him. It comes from Him. And in order for that to be attained, it requires two things. It requires two things. Number one, to be upright on the deen of Allah. To be upright on the deen of Allah. And the second, by invoking Him and asking Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow upon us the might. Listen to these beautiful verses in 3:26-27. This is an invocation. قل اللهم مالك الملك تؤتي الملك من تشاء وتنزع الملك ممن تشاء. Say, O Muhammad, O Allah, possessor of the kingdom, you give the kingdom to whom you will, and you take the kingdom from whom you will. وتعز من تشاء وتذل من تشاء. And you endue with honor whom you will, and you humiliate whom you will. بيدك الخير. In your hand is the good. إنك على كل شيء قدير. Verily, you are able to do all things. تولج الليل في النهار وتولج النهار في الليل. You make the night to enter into the day, and you make the day to enter into the night. وتخرج الحي من الميت وتخرج الميت من الحي. And you bring the living out of the dead, and you bring the dead out of the living. وترزق من تشاء بغير حساب. And you give the wealth and sustenance to whom you will without limit, measure or account. The other path of conduct the believer should take is that we should be pleased with whatever Allah decrees, universally or legally, because we know that it is based upon wisdom. So when you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed something, then it is due to his wisdom, and therefore you will come to be satisfied and content, because you know that Allah knows best as to what is good for you, more than yourself. And when you know that the legal legislation, the legislations which Allah ordained, are based upon wisdom, then you will submit to them and you will accept this legislation, and you will know that it is the truth, and that opposing it would be falsehood and foolishness. And when you come to know that the decree, universal and legal, is Allah's, then you will not dare to oppose his legal rulings. Similarly, you are not going to be able to oppose his free decree. And thus you will become Musliman lillahi zahiran wa batinan wa kawnan wa shara'a. Then you will become a submitting Muslim openly, inwardly, universally, and legally. And Allah the Most High knows best. This brings the end of these elephants. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.